It's Australia Cup week, so Sky Blue Stories returns with all the latest Sydney FC news and views from around the grounds as we look ahead to the men's round of 16 clash with Apia Leichhardt this Wednesday night. We also discuss the fixture release for both men's and women's update for the senior sides, and we put a bow on the NPL season that was from Jimmy Van Wieren's side in 2023, which has wrapped up only hours ago as we record. Sean Maloney and Jonathan Finger here tonight with one more regular host for Sky Blue Stories. Our host has been on the pod to tell his very own Sky Blue story before and to fill in on occasions over the last few years when others have had cursed one-week calf injuries. Completing our host quota and also bringing our average age for the Sky Blue Stories five-a-side down about 15 years, it's Nick Rojas.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be a regular now.
Shamona. No, I couldn't quite hit MJ's high note. Sorry, Nick.
I was waiting for it, Sean. I was waiting for it.
There will be many more Michael Jackson references on the podcast.
Terrific.
And Marvel. Sure. Very good. How are you, young Nick, my griddle combatant?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Can't complain. I'm just can't wait for the season to start, honestly. The season's kind of started for the men's. They have a one game in the Australia Cup, and they've got one coming up on this Wednesday. So I'm pretty keen for it.
Yeah, what are we going to say? Two months to the day, almost.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say you're excited for 10 a.m. tomorrow when Griddle comes out again.
Absolutely. Oh, that's like a big addiction.
Is that dating app you've been using?
No, not to get confused, Sean, but no, it's that addictive A-League game with me and Jono being pretty much silently going, sharing each other's results every week, every day, actually.
Yeah, Sean, it's okay. You can't get banned from this one.
No.
It's dating app.
Feel dirty about that. Anyone know a good lawyer?
Write a letter of complaint. There is a lot going on in the Sky Blue world. Obviously, Michelle and Jules absent this week. But we've got plenty to talk about. And one thing, just quickly before we get into it, gents, we haven't had a chance to talk about the round of 32 game in Wollongong. So I thought we'd just touch on that quickly. It was a bit of an average day down in the Gong as the champions came to play a Sydney FC home game prior to Wollongong Wolves playing in the NPL. Just over 2,500 from memory. Sean, you and I sat there in blustery conditions.
I was dressed very appropriately, unlike yourself and Andrew.
That would be right. Yeah. Yes, that would be right. What did you make of the game? In all, it's almost a similar story to last year's 32 games.
Up 2-0, go down 3-2. You know, last time it was their turn to score a last minute goal to push it into extra time, and then we said, you know, hold our beer, and then you know we did it ourselves with a brilliant JK. Bit of magic there, and then, you know, extra time, and Redders stood up, and, you know, for anyone who attended, it was such a spectacle. So,
there's always action happening in Wollongong. Nick, how good did you feel when Jaden Kucharski slotted that equaliser for 3-3?
Oh, unbelievable. I've always really hoped for him to have more of a chance in the first team, and for him to finally, like, it's kind of shocking that that's his first goal for the men's team, the first grade team. So, for him to get that is going to give him so much confidence, and hopefully that's a bit of a statement for him towards Corica to be like, you got to consider me for this up and coming season and play me more, because if he's scoring goals like that, then like imagine what it could be if he's given more game time.
100% men and moments. And there was a few other highlights, Sean, from the day. We had three debutants. And a starting debut as well for Corey Holman. So we saw Keely Adamson at right back, filling in for Ryan Grant. We had Matt Scarsella come off the bench, and also Mitch Glasson. So the youth.
Youth. Yeah. Lots of players. I'm sorry, I'm just waiting for everyone. Sorry to get the first comment in on that. But no, it was great. I thought, you know, you and I agreed. Well, you said it first, and I agreed with you, but it was – maybe Keely could have maybe come off towards the end. I think he just kind of grew really tired. First, you know, senior men's team game. goes into extra time, maybe Zach might have come on for him at right back. But I was really impressed with Corey Holman. Paul Bugger has a terrible, you know, injury that put him out for a while, a bit of surgery involved. And so, you know, it's exciting times ahead with our youth and what they're capable of doing. And these youth can score goals, as we saw with JK. And Paddy Wood too, as well, you know.
Well, we've been practicing our penalties, obviously.
And old mate Robbie Mack, you know, got in on it too, scoring the first.
He picked up where he left off, didn't he? Oh. So it was great to see. I think apart from Bratton, Redmayne, Caceres, you know, every penalty taker was under 23. So it was a great day out in the end. We could have done it a bit easier. Would have been nicer. Would have been nicer to be home a little bit earlier without extra time. But the boys got the job done. And like you said, Sean, another iconic moment, or a couple of moments down in the Gong. But let's push on. Let's stick to the run sheet, which, you know, we're not very good at doing. But, you know, Sean's gone to the effort as usual. So we may as well do that. Sean, take it away.
Grounds. Speaking of getting the job done, the boys had another pre-season game against MacArthur Bulls earlier this week. 3-1 victory over those Bulls. So just getting some minutes in the legs, Jono. As our good mate often has said before, just minutes in the legs.
What's about?
Yeah. So, look, I can't remember who got on the score sheet for that. I think some of the young fellas did, but I had a nice little hit out over at Macquarie. And that will put them in good stead ahead of, you know, Wednesday night's game. But this is the next bit on the run sheet that I really want to focus on. I want to get your opinions, and I think you don't shy away from opinions and sharing it on X, I guess. Well, now, you know, you like Xing, tweeting. The wonderful foyer mural wallpaper, and John and I had the opportunity. Well, how long ago was that? A month ish.
Yeah, probably about that.
Going to see the new Sky Park and going through the foyer there and seeing the gym and, you know, where the boys will do their coffee in the morning and whatnot. And we saw during the week on the social medias, the mural put up either side, nice balance between our champions past and present of the female and men's teams. Thoughts, reactions, boys, you know, did you like what you saw?
Yeah, I personally loved it. I loved how, because once they revealed it on social media, they actually made wallpapers. So you could choose which one out of the ones you could choose as your wallpaper. I just wanted one for both because they're both class and they got all the best players in it. I would say that there's no stakes involved in it. So I'm glad that they've chosen the right players. But there's a good group of both for the men's and women's in the club's history.
Yeah. My favorite, of course, is Broski, front and center of one of them, as he should be. So, Jonathan, you loved it?
Yeah, look, I think they've done a pretty good job there. It does look slightly off center. I'll have to see it in person to see. But I think they've nailed it in terms of who they've put up there. Some could say maybe Sam Kerr's pushing it a little bit with the one couple of seasons there, but she did help us win a very, very important championship and memorable championship. So I think she qualifies, Sean.
If there's one that I would cut, it would definitely be her. When I think of Sky Blues, the women's team, Liberty A-League / W League in the past, Sam Kerr doesn't come to mind. I think of her as a Perth Glory player, or you know, and so on. So I would have picked somebody else, Nat.
Nat's there.
Oh, she is there. So who would I put? Who else would I put? Going back in time, maybe a Karmas?
Maybe. Yeah. She has disgraced herself in the other colours though now. So
okay, maybe
that. Maybe that's probably why that she wasn't on there.
I can certainly see your point of view, but she's a championship player with Sydney FC, and she contributed greatly to that season and that particular game. So I don't have a problem with it, and you know she is probably also the most marketable female football player in the world at the moment. Yeah, so you got to take some liberties there, I think, if you can, Nick.
Yeah, we'll claim her when she's calling screamers against England in a semi-final. So yeah, we'll claim her as our own when she does that.
100%, 100%. Fantastic. No, the mural looks great. Sky Park looks great. It was officially opened this week, Sean. Is that right?
Yeah, so everyone can just rock up, just knock on the door, mention our names, and you'll walk straight in. So
just put your coffee order in.
Yeah, I think it's a 24/7 gym, so just get a little dongle thing, just in, and you'll be right to go. Just like Five Dock Leisure Centre. Anyway, we had another addition. Our last time on the pod, 2-3 weeks ago, I brought up the fact that, we're signing these players, other players are leaving, et cetera, for one reason or another, Brighton, Hove Albion, Sydney FC. And we thought, what about a new assistant coach with Robbie Stanton moving on Jets? And then, boom, I think within 24 hours, he must be listening to the pod. We get David Rilich sign on for us. So, look, I'm quite happy with that appointment. He's had quite a nice resume in recent years. He understands the DNA of the club. He's been there, done that. So I think he'll really hit the ground running.
Agreed. Agreed. Got to meet Driller at the Sydney FC Foundation Golf Day on Friday, which was great. So, yeah, Zula had a couple of seasons in Sky Blue in the early days, obviously a former teammate of Steve Corriger. And I'm surprised the socials haven't found an assist to link the assistant, coach role with Drillage and Corriger. But here's some Rowdy's first homework for the season. I know he's been busy updating his website, sfcstatistics.com. But there is an assist in there, and I want Rowdy to find it when David Drillage has assisted Steve Corriger.
Okay.
So there you go, Rowdy. That's your homework for the week.
But I think I've got a stone clad or iron clad, cemented clad intel that David Drillage will be our head coach beyond the season. And okay. I know that because I'm very prolific on Facebook. In their post, I put succession plan activated, and a particular personnel, I won't name who, maybe some of the detective work from people can go, the little sleuths out there, Sky Blue sleuths can go work it out, liked my comment.
So succession plan doesn't mean next year, Sean.
Well, Steve's his contract ends this season, doesn't it? At the end of this season.
We're going to win the comp, though. So.
We're going to win the double.
Time for change. Come on. We've all been singing it. Anyway, but I'm very happy with our new assistant coach and look forward to seeing him on the sidelines.
Yeah, good luck.
Up close and personal on Wednesday night at Leichhardt Oval. Speaking of ins, let's go through some ins, because especially on the women's front, they've been very busy with some signings over the last few weeks or so. I'll start off with the most notable of all of them, also because I just happened to write it at the top. Courtney Vine, only a year, one more year of Vine time. We kind of had there was a time that we thought maybe she'd move on, World Cup, people come knocking on the door, understandable. But, with some of the marketing and stuff of the A-League and whatnot, she was in amongst it, and so started to go, I think she might be hanging around. So very happy to have Courtney, especially because we've already seen far too many of our players go. So another year, another season of Vine time. Beyond that, who knows?
Is there special money, Nick, this stuff, is there special money for the A-League women's to keep marquee female players?
It's a good question. I'm guessing in terms of what type of player. I mean, obviously Vine's now coming off a very successful World Cup campaign for the Matildas, but for herself, because when the performances she put on during the tournament, she was always pretty solid. Like, maybe not getting all the goals, obviously no goals or assists in the night, but she was still we know her quality, so she's a real workhorse on the ball. So I'm guessing in terms of the player, but the fact that she's extended her deal, I can see some, they'll probably aim at marketing her a lot this season in terms for the club and for the league. So I think it's not only a good
current Claire
good Martin. That Sydney, yeah, it's not only good that Sydney's secured a future, but also the A-League have someone to promote for the upcoming season. And yeah, I think they'd be probably maybe idiotic to not market around her, because she is one of those Matildas that young girls, men, and can look up to for the future.
Yeah, we think that Courtney sort of always wanted to stay, but, you know, her star has risen significantly over the last sort of 12 months, 18 months. And so I'm certain there are offers overseas, which, you know, probably a little bit more money than what Sydney FC could pay us. So we know there was World Cup funding for World Cup players in the dub that wanted to stick around. So I guess, yeah, hopefully we've accessed some of that to help help keep her happy and keep us happy and fans happy as well.
Yeah, and they signed her early as well, like before the interest came in. So they're very wise to get it done quick.
Yeah, 100%. Who else have we got, Sean?
I'm going to try and say this properly. Margot Chavet? T, you're silent.
Margot Chavot?
That's the one.
Maybe.
Who was in our squad, or is in our, has been a part of our squad since last season. Did get on the bench for a game at Cogra. Might have been the game against the Phoenix. Lucy Johnson, who's come across from Victory, and Aideen Keane as well. So probably the most notable from that would be Aideen Keane.
Lucy Johnson from Victory or Newcastle?
Where's she come from? I thought that she was from Victory.
I don't know. No, I'm not sure.
I think I just remember seeing her in Victory colours. But look, there are some solid replacements. I know chatting with Michelle, she wasn't over the moon. I don't want to quote her too much. So, but yeah, some decent replacements there. Look, they're the big shoes to fill with the likes of Macca and Sarah Hunter and the like. So, but you know, Ante will work his magic, and he'll turn what a good player is. He seems to squeeze the best out of players and help them reach their potential. So, and then the other two, which probably are the most exciting of the recent signings, is Tori Tumuth and Sienna Saveska. The club must love an alliteration.
Maybe they like alliteration. No, damn it. That's not alliteration, John.
Trying to do a haiku. very good signings. I think Tori in particular, I think she'll be like originally I thought, oh, that'll be some depth for our defensive stocks, but I think she'll be a ready-made replacement for Charlie. I think she'll slot in right there at right back alongside Nat, Charlotte, and Kirsty Fenton.
I think Sienna Saveska has also spent time at the Institute by the looks of it, Sean. So, yep. Very big raps on young Matilda.
Yeah. Got a run with the scum last season, yeah.
Yes. I still think we're two or three senior players short through the spine. Like you said, there's a couple of handy replacements there, but there's a lot of development that needs to happen there. We might be right in the midfield with Taylor Ray coming back in from the injury. She's had a great finish to the MPLW season in New South Wales, and she made the team of the week a few times, as has Aideen Keane and a couple of former Sky Blue girls, Claudia Chalakian and a few others. So, but we're still a bit short, I think. I think numbers-wise, we've got a squad, but we still need two or three senior players there to make sure that we can... we can keep this
a couple of marquee names of sorts.
I think
because I just don't know who's going to pair up with what I will suspect will be Taylor Ray and Shay in the middle. I just don't know who's going to be that third midfielder at the moment.
Indiana.
Yeah.
I don't want to be rude, but it's a, and no disrespect on Indiana, but like, what is she, 16, 17? Week in, week out.
Yeah. No,
you know what I'm saying?
She's good enough to play in a grand final.
She's a talented footballer, so
she did a great job.
Got homework. Come on. Like, you know, studies, Jonathan, you know.
Yeah. No, you're right, though. Week in, week out. No, you're right. And even those three, Shay, Taylor, and Indiana, like, if that's your starting midfield, that's a very young, a very young starting midfield.
Yeah, bring back T. Out of retirement. And a couple of outs. So one that got, it kind of really kind of flew by without much, you know, notice or fanfare or anything like that online was Mary Stanich Floody. So she's gone. I don't know where she's gone. I'm suspecting maybe Mariners, unless you guys know. But Mary Skonski's. I don't know if Annika is or going as well. What do you reckon would...
She was sort of on a scholarship deal, so yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. She might go over to Perth or something, seeing as Dad's over there now. So, but the other one I'm really disappointed about, and, you know, we're getting up to weak gutted dog territory, is Rachel Lowe. And there's a senior player that who could have quite easily slotted in that 10 role and then have Shea and Taylor as his 6 and the 8. And there's a senior name, Jonathan, you know, someone with experience, plenty of A-League women's games under a belt that could have helped to kind of lead the midfield in the wake of no more Sarah and Maka. But she's jumped ship.
To one of the scum.
Yeah. Much like this snake of a boyfriend.
That's it. That's
good
it.
Good luck in Scotland, though, Cal.
Yeah, look, Melbourne Victory, they're sort of putting their squad together at the moment, obviously. They've got some interesting ins and outs of their side. So, look, Rachel's a good get. We always said last year when she was playing off the bench for some of it that, you know, she'd start at any other club. So, yeah, look, it'd be nice if she didn't go there. But, but it'll be good for her career for sure.
And Jonathan, exactly. Do you want to talk about Sega?
We've got nothing official. We're just sort of checking in on the socials as we do. This is back to Sky Blue Stories original days when we used to just stalk players' Instas and see what's going
on. Thought you called your mate over at customs at Sydney Airport and said, can you run this name through the passport machine?
That's it. No, we just noticed that Adrian Segicic was checking in at Sydney Airport, I think, and he had a picture up of his ticket flying to Doha and sort of went, I know the Oli Roos are going to Qatar, but that's not for a couple of weeks, and he wasn't even in the squad. So did some digging, asked some questions around from certain people, and yeah, it seems that Adrian Segicic will be going out on loan for the season to Holland, I'm hearing, somewhere in Holland. So it's potentially good for him if he can get game time, but we always sort of looked at our squad and sort of went, we've promoted quite a few youngsters that can play across the front line. We've got, you know, we've brought in Nathan Amanitidis from Adelaide, who plays a similar position. So we always sort of thought someone's probably on the way out.
Because you already got Mac and Lolly, you got Wood and JK, you got Mitch Glasson now. Is there another one I'm thinking of?
And Amanitidis.
And even Maxi can play, you know, up front on the wings too. So
And we're potentially going to sign a foreign nine. So. Yeah, I think Sega and his manager probably just looked at it and went, I'm not going to start, so maybe go out on loan and see what he can get overseas. And he's good enough, and he's clearly always had ambitions to go overseas, so this is his chance. And yeah, hopefully it all lands for him. It hasn't been announced yet, obviously. Expect to see that early this week, I'd say.
I can imagine he's looked at the amount of like people in front of him for spots in the team. So he's already got Mac and Lolly, and then to have more youngsters trying to get in the squad. So I can imagine that moving away would be the best for him. But it depends where he's going, though, because if he's he hasn't played a lot of football in terms of the first grade team. So he's obviously got the talent, but it's also depends where he's going, of course. But if he's able to make an impact in Europe already without the many minutes in the first team.
Maybe even like second division, Eredivisie or something like that.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
it could be. Who knows? We've obviously seen Graham Quall go over there and sign with one of the lesser teams, I suppose, to try and make sure that he does get some game time. And look, Sega, you're right, Nick. He hasn't played a lot of regular senior club football. But, you know, anytime he's been away with the young Socceroos, he's been a standout. And Even when he came on, for a few minutes for the Wollongong game, and again, you know, looked the difference. At the start of last season, he was man of the match, I think, four of the first five games we played. So For whatever reason, whether he went away with the Young Socceroos and then lost his spot and never got it back. I mean, it'd be very frustrating, especially for a bloke that's been around the club for such a long time. So, no, I wish him all the best. And who knows, it might not be the last time we see him in Sky Blue. So, hope wherever he ends up that it's a good move for him.
Jonathan, do you want to talk about now a few, around the grounds in terms of Sky Blues overseas and whatnot, what's been doing a few, fan favourite Greysdale pitch news gone
by? Yeah, just a few milestones from former players, which sort of fits into the round the grounds, as you said. So Yordi Boyce has played over 200 games in Japan now. Does that make you feel old?
Yordi Boyce, son.
Boyce, son. I reckon that works.
Yordi, son.
Isn't that insane? Over 200 games in Japan, and mostly in the JE2. But, he was with one of his sides, I think it was Kyoto Sanga, and they got promoted, and then he signed with another J2 side, so stayed in the division. But he was someone I think that, every Sydney FC fan wanted to keep around for a bit longer.
And it feels like yesterday that he left the club. So
it does.
I'm surprised it's had 200-plus games in Japan.
That's it. So touch wood, he's had good luck with injury. So. And plenty of football for him. So I just thought that was a pretty cool milestone for him. Paddy Yazbek, he's one of our own. Viking over in the Tippeligaen, but I'm not sure if that's right, the Norwegian league. So Viking have won 10 games in a row. So also home to Nick D'Agostino and Gianni Stensnes, a couple of other Aussie teammates. So they are equal first on points. They're behind on goal difference, I think, last I checked. But fantastic start for him. He's starting most games. Bless him, he's already been suspended for accumulation of yellow cards, so he missed one game. but fantastic achievement for Paddy. And, hopefully that kicks on. But, if you're getting regular football in a division like that, whilst it's not one of the, it's not one of the top five and probably not one of the top eight, but it's regular European football, so someone's going to take notice eventually. It's great stuff. Couple of others, so around the grounds, NPL-wise, so a few former players. One from many, many years ago in Hadji Gligor has hung up the boots from Sydney Olympic. He's been there for a very long time. Fabio Ferreira, likewise, from Sydney Olympic. He's decided to hang up the boots, pretty impressive career that included being at Chelsea at one point.
Jonathan, do you know what's even more impressive?
Yes.
The written blurb for those two players. Nick, just jump on and maybe for the last, look at Sydney Olympics, last say months worth of posts on Insta and Facebook and stuff. If the bloke who, and I'm pretty sure I know who it is there, I think it's Raf, but...
I think I know too, but go ahead.
But if they haven't cottoned on to the wonders that is generative AI, then the Pope ain't Catholic. When you sent that message to me, Jonathan, I was thinking the exact same thing from like a week ago. Anyone, just jump on. Like, it is just so, what's the word I'm looking like? Whimsical, magical.
The superlatives are...
Yeah, it's just...
They're wonderful.
Something Shakespeare would have written back in the day.
It's also a bit like, it's also a bit boomerish. Like Tony Rackety does a bit of it too for RPO, I must say. Exhausts the superlatives. Has the thesaurus next to them, I think. GPT.
Saturday night game, Olympic are playing a bell. Well, come down and see the clash of the titans, two amazing teams coming head to head on what will be the, I'm just like, whoa, okay. Dude, it's a 5 o'clock game at Belmore, bro. Anyway. But yes, Haji and Fabio are retiring.
They are. As is, not as is, I was going to say as is, Robert Stamboliev, who has hung him up. He's, like many former A-League players, gone into real estate. What it is about. What it is about.
Mark Warren.
Yeah.
I see him all around my area.
They'll end up having a five-a-side team of all the real estate footballers who play in the A-League one day.
Very, very easily. They could fill a few, I think, Nick. So Stambo's doing a good job down there in Victoria. Most recently was playing for Preston Macedonia. So And they've had a good couple of years with him on board. So all the best to those former Sky Blues. But there was some very exciting news that came out in the last week, gents. We've got fixtures for both A-League Women's and A-League Men's. And it's a little bit different this year. Nick, we've got a standalone A-League Women's round to start it all off in about 11 weeks' time. Or actually, probably less than that, probably about 10 weeks' time.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's exciting. I'm a big fan of that. Like, of all the news out of the fixtures coming out of the women's and men's, that's probably one of the big highlights for them to, like, obviously the momentum from the World Cup is huge, and for them to get the season going a week earlier is really exciting.
Allianz, that's right. The club's pushing their membership add-ons and standalone A-League Women's membership. So make sure if you are interested in those to get involved. I think they're taking a bit of a risk with it. Like you said, they're trying to get that momentum going. But Sean, let's hope that they at least half fill Allianz, right? For this,
yeah, clever that the graphics have had Courtney and Claire, two Matilda's players, Vine Time and whatnot. My only annoyance is with the time, 7:45. A-League women's games or the crowds tend to be a bit more family, younger, child kind of orientated than your A-League's men's.
Good point. So I hadn't thought about that.
7:45 on a Saturday night, like October 14th, I think that would make it the last weekend before school holidays ends.
Mm-hmm.
School kind of would go back the following week. So maybe that's okay. Kids can stay up a bit later and whatnot. But I think I think it would have been better to have like a 5 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that because we obviously with the, this is more with the men's because obviously they show the one game a week on 10. Are they showing the first game on Channel 10? Is that why? Because that's what I'm thinking with the timing.
Mm.
That was my thought process.
It could be a ratings thing. Is it at all? I thought it might be just to try and replicate the feeling with the Matildas games because they're all 8 o'clock kickoffs, weren't they?
Yeah.
So maybe it's just the kids went for that and then follow it up and do a similar thing. But I think it's great that it's at Allianz. We know that the players love to play at the bigger stadiums. I just hope that there's a big crowd there. I feel like there will be. I think it'll be worth it. There's been a few questions for people online with the rest of the draw. Well, actually, before we talk about the rest of the draw, should it be the Wanderers, guys? Or if they wanted a marquee fixture, should it be the Melbourne Victory? What do you reckon?
Look, normally, sorry, now I'll jump. Like, I'm not a fan of the derby being first round, like the men's was two seasons ago when they're over at Combank. But I think the women's game, it's a bit different. And I understand you've got Claire Hunt, Matilda, Courtney Vine, Matilda, market the shit out of those two. So I'm fine. And plus, if you want to fill a stadium, have it two Sydney teams rather than a team from interstate.
Yeah, but Wanderers don't have a lot of female fans. Like they just don't go to the games. Despite what they put up on their training base with all the, Kai Simons.
Do you get a Central Coast?
Well, that could have been a good one, but they're doing an F3 derby, which is probably just as good idea. Or, I just think, speaking a bit on behalf of Michelle here, the biggest fixture for Sydney FC women's is probably still Melbourne Victory. And they've got, fans that actually do travel for the big games. So even in Melbourne City, they could have done
a grand final rematch kind of thing and put Western United there.
Potentially.
That would be smart.
Potentially, but I guess it then avoids the derby. So you can see why they've done it, but yeah, I would have liked the victory. I thought that would have been a good first fixture to have. The rest of the fixture. Now we've spoken a bit about the positives, boys. I think you know where I'm going with this. Not all games will be at Allianz. We've got six at Leichhardt Oval, which is fantastic. And then there's another venue.
I'm devastated there's no Cogra, but that's just me. But when I saw it and I saw Sydney Olympic Park Athletic Centre. I had to, like, my brain took a while for me to process that. I've been there plenty of times, John, you know, we've all been there probably as kids for an athletics carnival or the like. When I was teaching too, you know, as a student, why on earth would you put a football game at a, you know, circular field in the middle of an athletics track when they're like, I don't know, I've been there, like, you know.
Us South Melbourne fans.
Yeah, 100 metres away from the field. It is, unless they've got some kind of grandstand temporary thing they can...
It's just overall confusing, man. Like of all the places, like it sounds. I would have taken Cochra. I would have taken Cochra over there. Yeah.
I think Manly would have been also a great alternative after Cochra.
I really think the club actually needs to come out and explain this decision. Like it's so out there, and it really feels a bit like a step backwards. It's, you know, they're going to put some goalposts up in the middle. It's like, it'd be like playing in the center of Wentworth Park, for those that are familiar with Wentworth Park.
They play soccer there.
But that's what it would be like.
Yeah, and it's horrible.
That's it. That's the equivalent of what they're proposing here, right? And the club's going to have to do so much work to make that feel like a home game and to make it, you know, feel like a football ground. Obviously, they were desperate, but I just think this is a massive fail, massive failure to stump up with any other alternative. I don't imagine the, you know, Sydney Olympic Park Trust is paying us a bunch of money to put the games on there or something. Like, it's just a strange one. And I really feel like the club should come out and explain how and why that's been made. Because it feels like a bit of a step backwards for the girls.
A step backwards, especially in light of the World Cup, when we were playing, they were playing in our most premium stadiums, from Suncorp to Allianz to Accor and et cetera across the country and NZ. And then they get stuck at an athletic centre. Like, it's a real slap in the face, I think. And
yeah, absolutely.
Like you're saying, like, Cromer was not a better alternative, Lambert even.
Well,
even a stubby, like, what about even Sydney Uni?
So there are some issues with those ones. So the PFA agreement now, there's an agreement that they won't play on synthetic pitches. So it used to be okay, but in the new, from what I understand, in the new PFA agreement, they're not to play W League or A League women's games on synthetic. So that rules out Cromer Park. It rules out Seymour Shore.
And stuff on knees and stuff. Yeah.
So that does limit options. If Cromer was grass, 100%, that'd be where they'd be playing. I think the club's got a great relationship with Manly United over there. But yeah, it's just, you know, we're putting up. My hope is that round one is an absolute bumper crowd, and then maybe they go, okay, that worked. Let's see if we can, you know, stump up the cash to hire the stadium out. There has been quite a few comments from some new, what seemed like new fans to the game, and new members that have signed up for Sydney FC memberships. And they've sort of said, oh, I only signed up because I thought the girls would be playing at Allianz more often. And I mean, probably should have done a little bit more research. That's not what usually happens. But, you know, the for those that aren't aware, the lease agreement that Sydney FC's got with the SCG Trust, the girls aren't included in that agreement. And that agreement goes back years, right? So the hiring of the stadium, the costs are fixed. Obviously with a certain, I'm sure they'd have a certain inflation year on year, whatever it might be. But so for the club to hire the stadium, it's, as you know, it's basically as much as bloody Paul McCartney is paying to hire the stadium. So when you put it that way, for the club to break even, they'd have to have 15,000-20,000 people come to the game. And so that's the reason that, you know, you're not going to see the A-League women's play every single game at Allianz Stadium. I'm sure availability of the ground is also another reason, but yeah.
Well, maybe they're waiting for his word of mouth as well. Like, if, as you said, if first the game goes well, then
yeah,
maybe they can consider it more to play at Allianz.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And, you know, I guess what I was saying there is just it's some facts, but people will rightly bring up the fact it's like, well, you know, if they're paying for the men to play there, why aren't they paying for the women? It's not quite that simple, because the blokes, there's already agreement in place. For the women, it's more expensive, and yeah, you know, it is actually unfortunately a financial thing. So
yeah, business. Well, what, any games, any fixtures you boys are looking forward to? For me, I'm looking forward to the new team, or the kind of a new old team in Central Coast coming on board. Another opportunity to head up to Gosford.
Yeah,
we always love that trip. Grand final rematch against Western United. Anything
yes.
Else?
Western United obviously be without Mark Torcaso, so yeah, it's interesting to see how they kick on without him, because I think he was a big part of their success. You know, made basically a team of NPL players A-League women standard, and took them all the way to the grand final. So that'll be interesting to see how they go this year. But yeah, Mariners will be a great addition. I was actually hoping to go to their first game, but it's on the same day as Sydney Derby, Nick, so we can't go up the coast.
No, we can't. No.
Sadly, but that's right.
Shall we jump over to the men's fixtures?
Sure, take it away.
First round is a big blue. Nick's over the moon. Sunday the 21st, we're kicking off there at 7:45. Nick, you hate it, don't you?
What's wrong, Nick?
Seething. It's frothing at the
okay. Moment. I don't hate it. I'm looking at different angles, right? So with Big Blue, I get that you have to have a big fixture to start the season. And going back to what I was saying, because it is at the same time when they were showed on free-to-air on Channel 10, they'll obviously want a big game to start the season, get newbies watching the game, watching A-League. I get that. But we've clearly seen, and I'm not, like, last season was a good game. The first round, I'll admit that, but Same as goes with the Wanderers. You don't want to start playing like your biggest rivals straight away, in my opinion, because we looked at that game last year. Victory won fair and square. That wasn't a reflection on the season they had. And they obviously were much more disappointing than Sydney were. And no one really expected that coming out of that game. If anything, most people thought that those two clubs would be running for the title with City. So that's the way I'm putting at it. So I'm not saying that can't happen this season, where maybe they both play a pretty good game and then they end up having a good season. But I just think that to build momentum, you want to play a couple more games than play your biggest rivals. So that's just my opinion. But
do you hate it as much as you hate Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man?
I love Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. I think that was your least favorite.
No, definitely not.
There's been so many, man. I can't keep up.
Yeah. But, so I definitely feel it wasn't our last podcast, sure. That's why. But I just think, like, in my opinion, you could have had a bit more momentum with other clubs.
Who would you have instead? You're in control of the draw. Who would you put instead?
Well, I don't know. I would have loved, like, out of the other neutral clubs, Mariners are always a club that I love watching Sydney play. Obviously, maybe not a marquee fixture for neutrals to watch, but that's just my opinion.
That would have been all right. You know, their fans travel. It's quite easy for, you know, those in and around Gosford and Central Coast to get down to Sydney. You know, you can market it as FC versus the champions.
Do we think it could be because it's becoming tradition? Round one?
Well, it's not the first. Home. Other than last season, we've played them first round before, haven't we?
Oh, I think in a grand final rematch we have a few times.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking it's 2 years on the trot. I know it's only 2 years. It's not, you know, it's almost a pattern. But I just think maybe they're trying to create a tradition there where it's you know, Allianz Stadium, Sydney FC versus Melbourne Victory, round one. So a bit like Australia Day game, you know, you can sort of lock it into your calendars. So Yeah, I don't know. I tend to agree.
That being said, I am excited for it. It's still an exciting fixture, whether way you look at it. They are rivals.
Despite the result last year and the weather, it was a good spectacle. That's for sure. We had a good night out, didn't we, Shawnee?
Yeah, did we get drunk?
Pissing rain, I think it was.
Sure was.
Yeah.
Sure was. Despite the loss. No, it was a good night out. Other fixtures. So again, uneven. God, just give me an even draw where we play every team twice, for God's sake.
Two derbies at home.
Yeah, so three victory games, three Wanderers games, and three. The Jets? Can't recall now. But obviously, we play teams an uneven amount of times, which is just stupid. Yeah. First derby is when, Sean?
Fuck, I don't know.
Actually, I've got it here.
Thank you, Nick.
Round five, Saturday, 25th of November.
Okay. Well, that's at a lot of time. You know?
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Nicholas.
Months worth of football until we play them.
Supposed to be the pro, this guy.
Yeah, I like that. That gap between the first round and the fifth round to play the Wanderers. Not straight up.
Look, I'm going to be boring and say, like I've always said in seasons past, I love the trip up to Gosford. I love that away day. That's my favourite. I look forward to it every season.
And when have you got to wait for that one, Sean? February or something?
Nick?
No, so they think...
Yeah, it is in the new year. I think it's in the new year.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it. They're playing on the 10th of February in Industry Group Stadium.
Yeah, that's a new name for Blue Tongue.
That's a new name? Okay.
Yeah, No, the bloke that bought out their ownership last year, that's his mob, so...
Okay. Well, I'm glad they're still playing there because I knew there was rumors years ago that they were going to move elsewhere.
Oh, yeah, nah. Not on the back of that championship.
Not a chance.
Yeah, no. And look, they've lost a few players, haven't they, Mariners? But they still look pretty decent against us. I think, you know, Nick Montgomery's proven he's a pretty good football coach. They've brought some, again, they've refreshed their youngsters in there and, yeah, that would be a great game away, as it usually is. The grand final dates or weekends have been set, and they are a couple of weeks apart. So no Festival of Football, gents.
Oh,
damn it.
It's almost like...
I got so APL used to it last season.
They lied.
Wow.
They would never lie, Nick. Don't be silly.
No, of course not.
Don't be ridiculous.
A few double headers in amongst it. It's a bit annoying how after the home game, round one, we've got three away games.
Yeah. Paul McCartney.
That annoys me. Andy Paul. Just die like the rest of them. Fuck.
Stop.
You don't like them. You're more of a Rolling Stones man, I reckon.
Jesus. Someone's a Ringo Starr fan.
Oh, Ringo's all right. But no, you get that the first game, you get the taste of it, you're excited, you go home, and then it's like, oh, I can't wait to go back next week or something, and you got Suncorp, Amy Park, and Coopers. But then, you know, we've got three games in a row.
Yeah, they're not even New South Wales away games. It's not fair.
Yeah, it's not like we can just head up to Gosford or something like that or over to Campbelltown. Although I probably swore after last season not to go back to Campbelltown, Jono.
Just because they couldn't cook us a meal in an hour and a half.
Fucking did, yeah. My car was on cinder blocks as well. That was...
Oh, yeah, it was a long walk home. It was a long walk home. So, yeah, you're right, Sean. Wow, so three away and then three in a row at Allianz. Awesome.
It's not bad.
All right.
Three 7:45 games. Oh. And that's one thing I did notice. There are a lot of night games.
Yeah.
There's not too many afternoon. So whether that is good or bad, we will see. Interesting that they haven't set the times for the last sort of five or six rounds. Anything in that, you reckon?
Interesting. I don't know. Well, just seeing how the season pans out, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Hmm. Strange. Strange that you confirm the venue, but not the time. Anyway.
NRL season?
Starting, maybe. Yeah, but again, you're not going to play at the same day, are you?
Well, in Vegas.
Strange. Anyway, fixtures. Get on it. Start planning your away days.
Yeah. A
couple of doubleheaders with the girls,
uh-huh.
Which Michelle hates, and I'm sure that she's happy for me to go on record and say that. But she is happy that, what is she happy about? She's happy that the Sydney Derby women's opening game isn't a doubleheader. So that's good. That's one good thing. So good times. What else we got?
Australia Cup next week, Wednesday night, against, against history, Jonathan. We're playing history.
Literally, it's happening. As we
they're the greatest team in world football. Like, if you ask them, they'll tell you that.
They're the biggest as well and most famous.
NSL champions in 1853, was. Still holding on to that.
Hey, they're NPL champions 2023 right now.
And a call out to everyone, buy a ticket, because apparently 90% of the tickets sold are Arpia tickets. Is that what they said, Jono? Something to that
effect. The chairman just said in his 46 years as chairman, he's never seen more interest in a game for Arpia. But failed to mention why that might be. That's all right. That's all right. He's got to represent his club. I get it.
But I don't like how they're calling it a derby.
Oh, is it? Who did that?
Arpia. They're calling it a derby. And I'm like, not really. Yeah. Not in the truest sense. But
I'd call Sydney and MacArthur a derby more than Sydney and Arpia.
Yes.
I still wouldn't, but
Eastern suburbs versus the inner west,
Sydney versus Sydney, I don't know.
Inner West Council versus Waverley or something. No, might be Wallara, Randwick Council. But anyway, it's 7:45 next week, Leichhardt Oval. Get down there, it'll be a bumping game. It'll be a really great game. Arpia, they just a matter of hours ago. Us recording this, they beat St. George. I think it was 2-1.
Yeah. No, jokes aside, congratulations to Arpia. They
been the best.
They have been easily the best team all season, and a couple of their players, again, putting their hand up for potentially some moves to A-League clubs. I reckon, especially with some of the clubs sort of being a bit tight on the purse strings. Why not give some of these not young, but professionals, an opportunity. So they've done well. They've wrapped it up. It took to the last day in the end, but like I said, they've led the whole way. Very impressive.
So it's not going to be an easy game for us. I think they finished the season first. They've got match fitness and then some. They've got all the momentum, all that training and whatnot under their belt.
Mm.
We're in our preseason. Yeah, we've had some behind closed door kind of games with the likes of Manly United, Koalas, Jets, MacArthur, the other week's game against Mariners. But it's going to be, they'll fancy themselves up here, I reckon. Like, okay, a bit of cockiness there and whatnot, but I think they'll fancy themselves.
Yeah, if anything, this is probably the finishing touch they want on their season. So they have, they kind of have nothing to lose, really. So they really want to go out guns blazing to end the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or keep going this season if I don't hope they win, but like if they keep going, the season goes ahead. Yeah.
I'm assuming they're obviously finals and stuff next weekend, Jonathan.
There's no finals in NPL.
What? Since when?
Since this year, recently. Haven't you paying attention? Do you not listen to me on this podcast?
You mentioned that before.
Many times.
Oh, I have no idea. So why are we not playing on a weekend then?
Don't know.
Because that was the thing. They're playing midweek.
Well, they had their last round today. So I don't know. They probably had to get all the games done by a certain time. So yeah, look, like I said, they've done well. The fact that they played today, I don't know. Again, Nick, though, you reckon they'll just take momentum in, or will there be some sore bodies there from the campaign?
I honestly don't know, in my opinion. I reckon they'll try and put out the best team they can and it's available, like players who aren't, who've got, who aren't fatigued or carrying any injuries. So I'm guessing they'll play their strongest 11.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, and, you know, big Ivan Nechevsky's still there.
Thema Motomalo's there still.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few Sky Blue tinges in there. What was the bloke that played for MacArthur briefly? Is it Romero?
Jason Romero?
Yeah, he went back. So yeah, it'll be a good game. Sydney FC's carrying a couple of injuries. So Ryan Grant's got a thigh strain. He was sort of, we spoke to him when he was down in Wollongong, so this isn't secret or anything. He's quite open with it, but he said he would probably miss the round of 16 anyway and then be sweet after that. But I did hear a little rumour that he actually has redone the injury. So hopefully he's not out for too much longer after that. But it could mean another chance for Keely Adamson, who was very impressive in the round of 32 game, or potentially Zach De Jesus, who... we didn't see, did we? I don't think he didn't come on.
He was early. I think it was only sub that didn't come on.
Yeah. But as you said, took part in the friendly during the week. So there'll be a chance there. Jack Rodwell is still working towards fitness, although he did play some minutes during the week, which was great. But I don't think he will play a full game, from what I understand. And yeah, then I guess you've just got to look at who else is available. Segicic is not there, so it'll be a pretty similar looking side to the one that, that took on the Mariners.
I think you'll see the exact same starting 11 with Paddy Wood, Lolly, Mac either side, Holman, Bratz and Caceres in the middle. How long until Max comes back? How many more games?
Should be it, I think. Although it was a straight red, wasn't it?
So is it three matches or two?
So usually it's two at least. But I feel like it was only one game suspension for some reason. We'll have to look into that, but I think he's available.
But I think interesting, because I noticed this on the team sheet and a little bit of info stuff from the MacArthur game that they played the other day. I think they're trying to see if Jake Gerwood-Reich is going to be a centre-back. I think he might be between him and Gerd. Trying to see who will partner Jack in the upcoming season, because that's where Jake played again. He played centre back.
I mean, perhaps he's looking at that because maybe with the midfield options, he's trying to make him maybe move around a bit in the 11 to try and see where he fits and see where maybe in centre back might be the best option. But
kind of like the new retro, kind of with that somewhat a bit of versatility.
Yeah, maybe. But when you've got Gerd, who's a centre back by trade, you'd think he might be the best option to play. But I'm guessing in terms of Rodwell's fitness and how many minutes he might play, like we'll see who he decides to go with.
Yeah, Jake Gerwood-Reich needs to play midfield.
Yeah.
Sorry. He's not going to play centre-half, surely. And if he is, then there's something wrong with our squad.
I don't think it's a long-term option, though. at least I hope not.
Well, he had a kept Nathan Paul, but you know he's gone.
Often. He had a good debut against us.
Yeah, he went all right.
Family sat behind us.
Yeah. Nearly punched on with those blokes in front of me. He had to hold me back, but because I'm so big. But who else? Who we got at centre back otherwise?
Without Rodwell and Gerd?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Crickets. So I think we're we're looking for a centre back and a nine.
Wasn't Hayden Matthews on the bench for the round of 32?
He's on their website. Yeah,
I think Hayden Matthews was on the bench. So look, I'm hoping that Sean, you're right. I think you'll probably see the same centre half pairing, but hopefully Jack Rodwell on the bench instead, maybe so he can. Maybe get some match minutes in, depending on what the situation with Arpia is. I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah.
I think the game against the Mariners had very, very preseason vibes. Like both sides, you know, the touches weren't quite there. There was a lot of kicking into each other and, yeah, first touches going a bit further away than what a lot of them planned. So it's good that they had a... Yeah, yeah. So, but I think you could... That was probably the difference in a bit the youthful exuberance from, you know, Keeley Adamson and Corey Holman. Those sorts of guys who had been playing a bit of NPL, so their touch I think was a little bit better. Was really impressed with Corey Holman actually, just quietly. I thought he kept himself extremely involved, and yeah, really, really good to see him in his first start for Sydney FC. I think we'll win. I think we'll have too much for them, and I feel like you know they. They're going to have the high of winning the championship, but yeah, I don't know if they'll be celebrating too much. But to play again in a few days' time might be a bit much for.
I think they'll come out of the blocks, though. I think, you know, just that momentum from their season.
Mm.
I won't be surprised if it's nil all at half time. But I think as second half goes on, just our bit of extra quality and class that we have amongst our squad, I think we'll just start to pull away from them and. Maybe finish a, you know, 1 or 2 nil.
Yep.
Agree, Nick.
I don't know. I think I might go with maybe a little bit too confident. I'm going to go 3-0.
Confidence? Mm. Confidence. You've got to keep in mind, Apia played Olympic in a momentous occasion midweek last week as well in the clash of the Titans, in their true rivalry. So this will be their third game in... about 8 days, I think, for Apia. So, the pre-season versus end of season vibes will be there, I think. I'd like to see us win comfortably, but we never do. So, extra time, and we'll sneak a goal somehow.
Yeah, no extra time, please.
No extra time.
Yeah, we've got to work for it.
Should be banned. Should definitely be banned. Straight to a shootout. I think Australia Cup actually did a survey a few years ago about like if you wanted to see any changes in that. And I think that was one of the options. Do you want to go straight to a shootout in the round of 32 and round of 16? And of course I'm a purist, so I said no, but now I think about it, yeah, I think they should.
If it's a midweek game, yes. Weekend game, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if it's a Sunday night game, no, you know.
That's it. All right. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
How good. Well, getting closer and closer, boys. But get down there and, you know, hopefully there's a couple of thousand at Leichhardt Oval on Wednesday night. I think the forecast is not great.
No, I think a bit of rain over the next couple of days, Monday, Tuesday, I think it'll be right for Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful. So she'll be right, mate. And
God's country, NOS.
We'll see everyone down there. Nick, how do you feel your first performance as official host went?
Not too bad. Can't complain. Got the 3 points. And,
how many?
Look forward to next season.
How many griddle boxes would you give yourself out of nine?
Oh, nine out of nine, of course.
A nine, mate.
Yeah. That's
We'll see what they throw at us tomorrow.
Nice.
Very good. No, you were exceptional, my friend. Exceptional. Welcome officially once again, and we'll be back before you know it with more Sky Blue stories. Until then, enjoy your football.